This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
As Craig shared, our Advent series is called Let Us Adore Him. And it's built around this idea that there really, truly is no better time than now to worship King Jesus. You know, at Christmas time, something we enjoy doing is looking at and examining some of the scriptural underpinnings of our most favorite Christmas hymns. And this year, as Craig shared, we're looking at the hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. And this week, our focus in particular is the line from this hymn, Come and Behold Him, born the King of Angels. You probably could hear the melody even just as I say that. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. You know, this is the kind of language that we find most often in songs. And so our question today is, what does it mean for us to behold Jesus? If I had to imagine, you probably haven't spoken the word behold recently, unless you were singing one of these songs that the word behold comes in, or maybe you're reading your Bible out loud with a group of people or by yourself. The word behold is in there some. Behold is just one of these words we don't use a lot. So my question is, what does it mean for us to behold Jesus? We sing this invitation to come and behold Jesus. We sing this invitation many times every year. What does it mean for us to behold Jesus? You know, the word behold, according to the dictionary, simply means to perceive through sight or apprehension. It's like looking at something, acknowledging something, even though maybe you're apprehensive about it. It means to rest the focus of your gaze by sight on something, to behold. That's the turn that we just missed, dear, as you drive down the road. You know, like something like that, maybe. We don't tend to use it like that. But that's what the word means, to perceive through sight or apprehension. Do you behold Jesus this year through some apprehension, perhaps? How do you behold Jesus this year? What's it mean for us to behold Jesus? You know, this is a very rich word if we get into the scriptures and how the Bible uses this term to behold. It's an interjection verb that is sort of like saying, hey! Look over here, right here, hark. Sorry if I scared you. But that's what it means. It's an interjection. It's meant to capture somebody's attention. And this term, it's found over 1,000 times in Scripture. It's like God saying, hey, pay attention right here. My word is where we should be focused. The scriptural understanding of this term to behold, it's all about intentionally placing our focus and attention on something over and above anything else that might distract us. That's what it means to behold in the scriptures. And today we're going to focus on just a few of the places. Don't worry, we're not covering all 1,069 of these places. We're just going to look at a couple of the places where the scriptures use this term, hopefully so that we can maintain a better understanding of what it means for us today when we sing these words and sing this invitation to come and behold him, come and behold Jesus. So turn with me. If you don't already have your scriptures open, I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we will see, as we turn our focus to Scripture, that the way that we behold Jesus, what it means for us to behold Jesus is this. We behold Jesus as we treasure his work. That's what God calls our attention to throughout Scripture. He's saying, hey, pay attention to the way that I am working. We behold Jesus as we treasure his work. And let's look and see some specific examples in this passage. What an incredible passage. There's so much faith in this passage we see in Mary and Elizabeth and even the infant John. In this passage, especially though in Mary's response, we see a remarkable example of what it means to treasure God's work and behold Jesus. You see, the angel visits her and gives her this news that is remarkable. It is simply remarkable news. And Mary's response to all of this after asking a great clarifying question in verse 34, hey, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin, I'm not married, I'm not pregnant. How's this going to happen, Gabriel? And he answers her and tells her that this child will be from the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and so he will be called holy. In fact, he will be called the Son of God. And then he goes on to direct her to her relative Elizabeth, who is past the age of bearing children, who has been pregnant now for 6 months. And he says, hey, nothing's impossible for God. And so we see Mary, and there's many ways that she could have responded to this news, but look how she responds in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. One of these examples when somebody beholds the work of God. You see, Mary carries this great trust, even as she carries a baby that for her, in her culture and in that time, could have meant death. They were known to stone people who were found to be pregnant outside of wedlock because they assumed that this person had, instead of embracing God's work in their life, had shunned it and made other decisions. She knows what this means. She knows the danger it places her in. And she says, behold, I will focus on nothing else. Even through my apprehension, I will trust in the Lord. It's an incredible testimony. And then it's confirmed. Look in verse 45. She goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks this blessing over her. And in verse 45, she says this. Elizabeth says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So we look at Mary's response to the angel Gabriel, affirmed by Elizabeth. She treasures the work of Jesus in trust. She trusts God and his work. We behold Jesus as we treasure his work in our trust as well. Do you trust Jesus today? Do you trust Jesus the way Mary does when you see difficulty and challenge? Do you declare, behold, I am the servant of the Lord God. I will trust you. You see, we behold Jesus as we treasure his work in trust. And I love with this declaration of trust, Mary begins a journey of trusting Jesus. I can't wait to talk to her about this. She trusts God's work in and through Jesus that would take her to see her relative Elizabeth in this miraculous pregnancy. It would take her to a humble home in Bethlehem to give birth to the Son of the Most High God. It would take her to Egypt to flee genocide. It would take her all the way to the foot of the cross where she watched the baby that she bore nailed to the tree so that we might have life. And then, even when it looked hopeless, she got to see the emptiness of the tomb of the risen Jesus. And this journey of trust will take her and it'll take us with her, those of us who believe in Jesus and follow him and trust him as well. It'll take us all the way to the city of God, to the heavens and the earth made new, where this son that she bore, this baby that she carried in her arms, will be the only source of light by which we will behold heaven. Look at this journey of trust. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Certainly, we will all behold Jesus then when we are in that heavenly city. Revelation chapter 22 describes that there is no sunshine in the heavenly city because the light of God, the Lamb from the throne, is all that we need to see. What does it mean for us to behold Jesus? It means that we treasure his work in trust and also in joy. You see, aside from Mary and Joseph, the very first person to behold Jesus is Elizabeth's son, who's yet to be born. Look at verse 41 of this passage with me. It says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." And then she tells us what this meant in verse 44. Elizabeth, full of the Holy Spirit, speaking prophetically, tells Mary, she says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." We behold Jesus as we treasure his work in trust and in joy. You see, full of God's Holy Spirit, the baby John, when he meets Jesus, and then John's been commissioned for a special work to prepare the way of the Lord. He meets Jesus, he meets the object of his calling, and even as an infant, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and leaps for joy. Now, his life was unique, to say the least. John lived a unique life, uniquely dedicated to the work of Jesus. The scriptures say he grew up in the wilderness. And John tells us in the Gospel of John, written by a different John, we read that John the Baptist says he didn't know Jesus, yet he recognized him in the womb. He was called to be one, a voice crying out from the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It's like John's life was one giant exclamation of, "Behold, here he is. This is him." He embodies what it means to behold Jesus. But eventually, he lost his life because beholding Jesus doesn't always align with the political climate of the day. He gave his life to behold Jesus. Yet we see in John, from the beginning of his life, despite all the unique challenges he faced, he's a man who takes joy in Jesus' work. And if we are to behold Jesus, we must take joy in his work over and above our circumstances. Do you take joy in the work of Jesus right now? Do you take joy in what God says, the promises he has delivered to us, despite the difficulty and maybe even the hopelessness of the circumstances that you may face? Do you take joy in belonging to Jesus today? Because this is what it means to treasure his work, to come and behold him. It means we trust him, and it means that we take joy, even in dire circumstances, in belonging to Jesus. I want to stop for a second and ask, what is it that Jesus is doing in your life today? If we behold Jesus as we treasure his work, as we see Mary treasuring the work of God and the work of Jesus in her life, as we see John treasuring and giving his life for the work of Jesus, what is it that Jesus is doing in your life now? In this season, in this year. If you were to sit down and do an interview with Jesus, and if you were to ask him, "Jesus, in one sentence, could you summarize what you're teaching me and what you're trying to work out for me in my life. Like, how are you at work, Jesus? What's the one sentence he might say to you? Is he calling you to trust him more deeply? Is he calling you to find joy in him over and above your circumstances that seem to crumble every day and every week? What's this work that Jesus is doing in you? I would encourage you to spend some time in prayer. Summarize it in one sentence. Look back on this year. All the difficulty and the joys and the heartbreak and the things that you've lost this year, and maybe even some of the things that you've gained that you didn't expect to gain through a year like 2020, I would encourage you to take some time to prayerfully ask God, what are you doing? What is your work in my life right now? As you consider that, I want to share something I found interesting and helpful. As I sought to understand what Scripture teaches with regards to this concept of what it means to behold, and that is that the antonym or the opposite of the word behold is simply to miss. Something comes along, you can behold it, you can focus on it, you can place your attention and your focus on something, or you can miss it and it'll pass you by. Are you missing what Jesus is doing in your life this year? Are you letting your attention and your focus rest on things that keep you from seeing, that keep you from beholding Jesus? Just where does your attention and your focus rest today and throughout this year? You know, there's some things I believe that keep us from beholding Jesus, if we're honest. Things that tend to contribute to us missing the work of Christ in our lives. We miss what Jesus is doing when we let our focus and our attention rest on things that stir up fear and anxiety, anger. You know, the Scripture says that our anger doesn't bring about God's righteousness. You know, Mary could have focused on some of these things. She could have focused on fear and anxiety, even anger. Well, God, why would you choose me to do this thing? And it's going to be hard. And she doesn't even know the half of it yet. It's still coming. The difficulty she will encounter as a mother. She could have focused on those things. And for us, the call to come and behold is a call to intentionally remove our focus from wherever we have placed it, wherever we've let it come to rest, and place it instead on Jesus, even through our apprehension, even through our doubts. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. You know, it's interesting. I'd imagine that a place that your attention and your focus tends to come to rest is a little glowing rectangle that fits in your pocket or your purse. I forgot to bring mine up to show you, but I have one. It gets a lot of my focus. You know, social media and even the inherent design of our smartphones, they're designed, literally designed, to capture and keep our focus in order to monetize our attention for the benefit of shareholders. That's what's in your pocket. That's what's in my pocket. And I hate to admit, that thing keeps me from seeing the work of Jesus. Does it ever cause you to miss what Jesus is doing day by day, moment by moment? Church, as we see how in Scripture Mary and John and Elizabeth have come to behold Jesus, as we see this, it's like God is calling us, inviting us to reclaim our focus so that we can place it on our Redeemer and our Savior. Don't let it rest on fear and anxiety and anger or depression and hopelessness. You see, When we do this, we miss the work of Christ. But even if we've missed Jesus' work, there's still hope. You see, it's not only up to us. And this is so beautiful. You see, Jesus understands our tendencies, and in grace today, he invites us to come and behold him and to be encouraged. And so, I there's 1,000 places that the scriptures talk about this concept of beholding. And I chose the last one to look at today because I think it's helpful for us in 2020. I think it's helpful for us after what we've passed through this year and the ways that frankly, this year, I think for many of us, have challenged our allegiance to God and to the work of his kingdom. I want to invite you to listen to how Jesus calls Peter to behold him. This is one of the last conversations that Jesus has after the cross and the resurrection, and before he ascends into heaven. Now, if you remember, Peter was somebody who he let fear and anxiety overwhelm him, and he denied Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. He turned his back on him in his most difficult hour, denied even knowing Jesus. He let the fear of the moment overwhelm his trust and his joy in the work of God. But listen to what Jesus says to Peter, and I want you to close your eyes while I read this. Really, actually, close your eyes. And imagine Jesus sitting across the breakfast table from you. It says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus replies, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You see, we behold Jesus as we treasure his work in trust, in joy, and in grace. And this year, if your focus and attention has wandered from the work of Jesus and left you in a place that you are struggling with trust and you're finding joy in fleeting pleasures here and there and missing the work of Jesus, I want you to know he's inviting you to behold him with all of the grace of a risen Savior. He's asking you, "Do you love me?" And then he's inviting you into his work. "Feed my sheep." I love the restoration of Peter, and it's a funny passage to think about at Christmas time, but I feel like we get to the end of the year every year, not just 2020, but maybe especially 2020. We get to the end of the year, and we've allowed the worries of this world to distract our hearts and our minds. And the very real trials and losses that we've suffered and the things that we grieve can sometimes derail us from seeing Jesus, from beholding the Son of God. And in grace, Jesus invites us back. So I want to invite you, church, don't miss the work that Jesus is doing here, now, even this year. Don't miss what Jesus is growing in you and in his church and in the work of his kingdom, even in the circumstances that we've traveled through. Come and behold him. Don't miss him. He was born the King of Angels, and he invites us to trust him today. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we need you, Lord. I pray for every heart that often feels distracted by the worries and the circumstances of our days. Lord, may we behold you. I pray, Lord, that you would capture the attention and the focus of our lives, that we would treasure you and your work. As we do that, Lord, I pray for my friends here that need to find healing and need to find grace and need to find joy. Jesus, we offer you today all that we have. And even though it doesn't feel like much, Lord, we trust you. Father, thank you for loving us. And Lord, may we truly behold Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.